You don't rest when you're laboring. You're resting when you are reaping the fruit of what you have not labored for. Jesus made a very strong statement. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored.
Welcome to Harvest Family Church. We are sowing God's word, growing in Christ, and bringing in the harvest. Our prayer is that you would accept this seed of God's word in order to reap from the finished work of Jesus. Join us now for today's segment.
All right. Well, you know what? Just really, you know, because I mean, I always say that, but the Lord is really awesome. The way he does things and the way he teaches us. The place, I think that's a good place to start, and it's really good where Pastor Mike was already talking, and he was already ministering there, and that's right where the Lord started, is where we want to continue going. And, you know, he kept making reference a lot to what we have, right, to what we have already received. And I want to actually bring you, let me bring you to a quick verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and it's verse number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 6. But something that the Lord was showing us that's really good is that any prayer of supplication, right? Anything, right? Supplication is something that you ask of God, right? Any single thing that you ask God for, right? Ask God for, the answer to that prayer, just hear this, right? The answer to that prayer is in the Lord teaching you, right? Anything that you ask for, all right, and Pastor Mike made reference to it, so let's keep going right there, right? If you ask God, right, you desire to be well, you desire to be healed, you want your body to be well, right? If you ask God that, right, understand, like picture in your heart, what is he going to do? Is the Lord going to send a healing angel from heaven with healing in its wings, and he's going to flutter them by you, and then you're going to be well? So God is not sending something from heaven, right? In order, and here's what we have to understand. If you ask God something, if you ask your Father for something, he has to do something, right? Something's going to happen, because the Lord doesn't say that you should not ask him for something, right? So asking is fine. And when you ask, the Lord says that you receive when you ask. And James says that we should just not ask amiss, right? So here's the important thing. It's an understanding of what it is that God does and what is the answer to our prayer. And so if you ask God for something, the Lord has to teach you what you have so you can receive from what he's given. Right? So you can receive from what he's given. Several services ago, the Lord started teaching us what he has given. Because you know what it is? If we don't have a clear concept of what God's given us, then we won't use what we have. Can you remember that there, right there, for a second? If you don't have a clear concept, right, an understanding of what you possess, you will not use what you have. What did the master give to the servants? 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent. What was the problem with one of them? They did not use where they were given. See, the thing with God is not about people don't ask God enough so he can give them something from heaven. People don't have an understanding of what they have, therefore they were given something by God and don't use what they have. What was the difference between the man that received 5 talents, 2 talents, and 1? It was their ability to hear. In other words, their ability to hear is what enables us to receive from what we've been given. So the one that hears is the one that's going to receive more from what he has, and to him who has an abundance, even more will be given, right? And the Lord will look to him and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Why would the Lord consider hearing and receiving from what you have well done? Why? Because that's the only work that God has given us to do. Therefore, it's the only thing that God would ever tell you that is well done to do, right? Which is to hear. God hasn't asked us to do. God asked Christ to do, and he did, and he finished, right? And then God is not telling us now, after he has finished and done it, then you go ahead and labor to make sure that you accomplish what I want you to do. The Lord asks us to enter into his rest, which is to receive from what we have. There's two pretty cool words. They don't always mean the same thing in the Bible. If you see them, you have to read them in context. But there are two Greek words that are pretty cool. One is ginomai, and the other was lambano. And throughout the years, the Lord has been teaching us what that is, right? And ginomai is for something to be manifest, for something to be manifest, right? In other words, ginomai is for it to be birth. birth, right? And just the word, the context of the word itself, birth, is that it's coming from in you, right? It's not coming from out of you, right? You don't give birth like this. If you're a woman in here, you know it didn't come like this, right? A stork really didn't come, right? The stork really didn't come. Sometimes we think God is a stork, right? We ask God for something, He sends a stork and He drops it, right? You need a job? You can just sit home and just pray and ask God and He'll drop a job on your lap, right? But that's not how it comes, right? Things don't come. God doesn't drop things on your lap. It's what has God given and how do you receive from what He's given? So the word ginomai is to birth. The word lambano is to take from what is already yours. So those are two separate things, right? To birth something and to take from what is already yours. Lambano comes before ginomai. You have to be able to take from what is yours to be able to birth it, right? If you don't take from what is yours, it'll never be birthed because you're not taking it, right? So the Lord has given and we're not receiving from what He's given, right? So let me show you something. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, like we said, and verse number 6. In verse number 6, it says, For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, it says, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now here's what's really cool. I don't know if it's, I think it's just, you know, when you're looking for the Lord in the Bible, you know, the Lord can give you like a vision of it, like to help you see it, right? So that verse sounds like He's talking about something outside, right? And let's read that again and see if it sounds like outside or inside to you. For God who commanded light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, right? It almost sounds like Jesus is out here, and if you can behold the face of Jesus, you can see the glory of God. But here's the thing to understand. Jesus is not out here. Jesus is not out here. So therefore, you're not looking at something outwardly to receive something inwardly. So where is the Lord, right? Where is the Lord? He's on the inside of you, right? So because He's on the inside of you, understand where something's coming from. And that's why the next verse makes sense. That's why the next verse makes sense. So if we read 6 again, it says, For God has commanded the light to shine out of darkness. He has shined in our hearts. Watch this. It's not like this. Right? It's always like this, right? This word is the seed. My heart is good soil. This word is the seed. This word is not the seed. This word is the seed. My heart is good soil. The issue is getting from here to here. So how does it get? Because that verse is awesome for that. How do things get from here to here? Because this is what you're renewing, right? This is perfect. This is what we're renewing. So how does it get up? So he says here, the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, that was the book of Genesis, right? Genesis, right? He says, God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, let light be, and it was before the sun. So the light that was before the sun was not the radiance of the sun. Right? There is a light, and John verifies who that light is, right? He says, For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts. For what? Listen, He who commanded light to shine out of darkness, right? So He's in us. He has shined in our hearts to give the light, which is revelation, right? Light, enlightenment, right? To give the light of the knowledge. Light of the knowledge, so you're learning something, right? Light of the knowledge of the glory of God. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God. So you're beholding, and we know that verse, right? We behold the glory of God as in a mirror, right? So to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So in other words, the glory of God is seen where Christ is known. The glory of God is seen. What was the verse that Pastor Mike just quoted just before? Didn't I tell you, he told Martha that if you believed, you would see the glory of God. How do you see the glory of God? Believing. How do you believe? You put faith in Jesus. That's called the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So here's something interesting. So if we know, right, like that Christ is in us, then you know that what you have is the glory of God. So it's getting it from here to here. So that's growing in the, beholding the face of the Lord, growing in the knowledge of Him. Now we just touched on this a few services ago. The doctrine that the Lord was talking about, not the doctrine of Balaam and not the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which He hates, He says, but the doctrine that He was talking about, and if we have time, we'll get there. He was talking about the doctrine. He says that we would keep our hearts, right, in true doctrine of the love of God. in true doctrine of the love of God, right? So before we get there, getting a little ahead of myself, so let's back up a little bit to where we were. So we're saying we want to get it from here to here. So it's in the knowledge of Christ that it goes from here, what you have, what you possess, right? To being what? Lambano, right? To taking from what you have. Receiving from what you have. Getting from here to here. And here's what it says about what you have now. This is why verse 7 makes a sense. But, speaking about the same concept he was just talking about, we have. Can you say have? You're not gonna get. You have. You're not gonna get, you have. This treasure, it's something that wasn't there before. And now it's been added to you, and the Lord calls it a treasure. The treasure is Christ in you. Right? The hope of glory. The hope of our tomorrow comes from inside of you. You notice how he calls them that? The mystery, right, that was not revealed in times past, but now has been revealed to you, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The hope of glory, which is the hope that Christians have, right? The Bible says that hope is that which we have not yet received, right? Right? That which you don't completely have. So you have not yet received your heavenly body. So we have that hope that we will receive an eternal body. It's the only thing that you have not been given, right? That's why it's called hope, and that's why it's not called, right? That's not your present truth. That's something that you will receive. So here's the beautiful thing, right? Christ in you is the hope of that glory. So you understand what you're saying right there? Christ in you is the hope of that glory. So that means inside of you, there is no place in the Bible where it says that we that are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet Him in the air. And then when we get to heaven, the Lord is going to give us the rest of the Holy Spirit that He neglected to give us here when He ascended. That's not what it says. Actually, you're not receiving anything from heaven, right? The Bible doesn't give any inclination whatsoever that you're receiving anything other than your heavenly body, which comes from the glory of Him who is already in you. The hope of glory, the one who is your hope of glory, from where that life comes from, right? That immortal body where mortality will be swallowed up by immortality. Immortality, where does it dwell? On the inside of you in Christ. Right? So what is it, the only thing that happens? This verse that we read before, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, here on this earth, right, we see Him a step at a time. We grow in the glory of God a step at a time. A step at a time. When you see Him then, in that day, you will see Him as you are known. You will see Him as He is. And when you see Him as He is, everything that could ever be born out of you will come out of you. But where again is it coming from? Inside of you, not from outside of you, right? Things are birth. That's why there was a long time ago, I would think probably it's been maybe 2 or 3 months, Pastor Mike was up here on a Sunday and he did a teaching on the bride of Christ and how the bride is a picture. She's the temple, and how in the temple everything runs from inside of her. She's overlaid in gold on the inside, right? And the temple, that's how it was. The temple was not constructed to be gold on the outside. It was gold on the inside, and everything ran out from her, right? So it's an important thing for us to see. Everything comes from in you because He's already on the inside of you. That's why He's called it. Look, that's why He says, but we have this treasure in your earthen vessel. You see that? Not in a gold vessel. This is earthen. This is earthen. The temple looked very earthen on the outside. Right? It was all of things of this earth. But on the inside, it was overlaid everything with gold. Right? Isn't it interesting that that's not how men do things on this earth? Men overlay things with gold on the outside, and they are rotting on the inside. Right? Rotting on the inside. They overlay things and places and buildings. They make them gorgeous on the inside and on the outside. And on the inside, you walk in, and it's ways for men to lose their heart and their mind. Ways for them to lose their finances. Ways for them to waste their life on the inside. Right? That's what the Pharisees did, right? He said, Jesus says, isn't that something what you do? You wash the outside of the cup, but inside you're full of death on the inside of you. Right? But the Lord doesn't do that. Right? He's filled us with a treasure in earthen vessel, but here's the awesome reason why, because He gives you the reason. So that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. In other words, so that which is done, that which births life, that's from which where life comes from, would be of God and not from you. It's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that, you see what He just said there? Lives in me. But it's, why do you live in me, Lord? What can you tell me, Lord? Why are you in me? So that the excellency of the power may be of me, Jose, and not of you. Why do you live in me, Lord? So that the excellency of the power may be of me and not of you. Why do you live in me? He's in there for a purpose, right? What does he want to do? He wants to live out, right? Like he lived out in the life of Christ, right? And Christ could be in a wilderness 40 days and 40 nights and not die. What's sustaining him? Life. Because the life of a man does not consist of those things that he has, and man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. God doesn't talk like this, right? He talks like this, right? The voice of God is not coming from the outside in. The voice of God is coming from the inside out. We sing a song like that. It's called Inside Out, right? That's how you worship God, you know. You worship God from the inside out, right? Not from the outside in. Some people go to church and they're worshiping Him from the outside in, right? What they love is the beat. They love the music. They want to go... Right, but they're not getting it. They don't even know what they're saying. What they could be saying could be so completely unscriptural, and they won't care as long as it has a nice little tune to it, right? But it matters what you say, because some people and I'm not convinced that anybody here would be like that. But some people are okay with saying things while they sing that are half truths. But you know, at least the song's kind of okay. You know, it's not really all okay, because it's not that important what I say, right? Let's see how important it is. Can we go to real quick to Mark chapter 11? And so, I don't know, why am I in Matthew 4 then? I have no idea. Mark chapter 11, verse number 20. So it says, in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree that dried up from the roots. The Lord had spoken to that tree, cursed it from the roots, and it was dried up. From the roots, it was dried up. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou hast cursed is withered away. And Jesus, answering them, said unto them, Have faith in God. The tree was not withered. Right, the tree was not withered because of something that came from heaven to make that do something. Right, what happened to that fig tree came from inside of him. It didn't come from the outside; it came from the inside of him. You understand what I'm saying? Jesus spoke to the fig tree. Jesus spoke to the fig tree, and what happened to it came from in him. The Father didn't say, "Be fried from the roots up." Right? He didn't fry the fig tree from the root up from heaven, right? He did it from... Listen, what the Lord did through Elijah, right? He did through Elijah, and it did not rain for 3.5 days, years, sorry, but he did it from... He did it through him, not just from heaven. You notice that God just does it... It's not like God's up there just independently doing things from heaven, right? God has done what He's going to do, and He works through people, right? Through individuals. He works by His Spirit so that the excellency of the power of God can be seen through people, right? So look at what He says. So in verse number 23, He says, it's actually 22, and Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. Isn't it something interesting? He's talking about a fig tree being withered, and he links a fig tree being withered with have faith in God. Right? Why is that? You know, it's like, why don't you just teach them how you wither fig trees? Why are you going to tell them to have faith in God? What does faith in God have to do with withering a fig tree? Like, well, what does one thing have to do with the other? But the thing is that everything that comes from the inside of the Lord, right? Everything that came from the inside of Him came from the Father in Him, right? It was the Father in Him, He said, that does the works. So He says here, He says, for verily I say unto you, that whatsoever, that whosoever shall say from the inside of Him, right? Shall say unto this mountain, and the Bible says, we believe and therefore we speak, right? We believe and therefore we speak. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast out, cast into the sea. So you're saying something from the inside to affect something that's on the outside, right? Right? Something on the inside to affect something that's on the outside. He says, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. So right there, that speaking is not anything else other than believing and then speaking. But you see what happens first? Let's stay on the first step, right? The first step is not speaking. That's not the first step, right? The first step is believing, right? Faith in God. That's why he started off with that. Have faith in God. So to have faith in God is to have faith and to understand, just what we were reading before, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Having faith in God, what you're doing is you're learning a person. Because as you have faith and you understand who Jesus is on the inside of you, you will know God. Why? Because as you've seen the Son, you will know the Father, right? As you behold him, you will behold the Father. That's why the job, what the Father does is, he it's interesting, he doesn't draw people to just worship him. He draws people to the Lord, right? Jesus said, no man comes to me unless my Father draw him, right? So what is the Father doing? The Father's drawing people to the knowledge of Christ. Why? Because if people grow in the knowledge of Christ, who are they growing in? In the knowledge of God. Why? Because that's all the Lord does, right? Is just reveal his Father. Right, so the glory of God, if you ever wanted to know, Lord, how do I see your glory? You behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Who, and that, all that face means doesn't mean you have to see his natural face. It's just his countenance, who he is, right? On the inside of you. How does it get from here to here, right? By the knowledge of God. But he says, if you believe what you have received, and we'll get there in a second, but he says, if you say, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and you don't doubt in your heart, but you believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, that come to pass is ginomai, shall be birthed, right? So if you believe, listen, what you're believing is what's in you. And you say, Father, I don't feel well, but I believe, Lord, that on the inside of me, you have made me through the knowledge of Christ, 2 Peter chapter 1, you have made me a partaker of your divine nature. Where's your divine nature? Wherever you are. You're the divine one, and you're in me. So I can partake of your divine nature. Partake is to take from, right? But that's later on. That's lambano, right? But we're talking about ginomai, which is to birth, right? So he says, if you believe, that he says, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, that they will be birth. The beautiful thing is, you're not making them be born. You just believe that they will be born. That by the knowledge of Christ, you're not chasing after fruit and trying to make fruit come. You just believe that because you are a branch and you are in the vine, you will be fruitful. You'll be fruitful. You believe that you will be fruitful, right? So if you believe that you will be fruitful, it says, but who shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, right, be birthed, he shall have. So you believe that you have it, and then you shall have it, which means it will be birthed. It will be manifest. It will be seen outwardly, right? It's interesting. I mean, we were talking about it several services ago, but or maybe it was last service, that was the revelation that the Lord gave Kenneth Hagin. That principally, that's where the Lord began. Much of what is faith in God and the movement of faith across the world was started with that man flat on his back on his sick bed dying. Right? And the Lord gave him a revelation of that verse. If you believe that you have received it, right? But most people don't think and they don't pray like that, right? They're asking God to send it. How many songs have you ever heard? Oh, let your spirit rain down, Lord. Let it rain down on us, Lord, right here. Lord, you're welcome here. Welcome. He has to come? I thought he was already here. Right? Where is he coming from? People have all these notions. And you know what? Can I tell you something? It doesn't matter to me. And I really honestly don't care how pretty it sounds. If it's wrong, it's just wrong. And you're giving and you're putting bad thoughts in people's minds that they have to then go home and ask the Holy Spirit to come and rain down on them over there. Right? But he's already been poured out, the Bible says. Joel prophesied about it and that came to pass. He's already been poured out upon all the earth. Right? The Spirit of God has already been poured out. He doesn't have to keep pouring it out. Right? But people get that mixed up, right? Because, well, doesn't the Bible says to be filled with the Spirit? Yeah, that's okay, but where is the fountain? Right? Because, yeah, you should be being filled, right? You should be being filled here, but where does the fountain come from? He said, you have a fountain of living water. He told the woman of Samaria, he says, you will not thirst again, for I will put in you a fountain of living water and you will never thirst. You don't thirst here, you thirst here, right? And when you thirst here, right, that thirst is quenched from the fountain that you have in you, right? It's just a misplacement. It's not that people always say the wrong things. It's just that they misplace it in their mind and they're thinking the wrong stuff. Sometimes even people say the right thing, but you know they're thinking the wrong thing, right? They say the right thing, but they're thinking the wrong thing. So it says, so look at what he says. So he says, but shall believe that those things which he saith, but remember, you believed first and then you spoke, right? So when you have faith in God and you speak, you believe that those words will be fruitful. Elijah, listen, when he said to King Ahab, it shall not rain for 3.5 years. At that point, when it came out of his mouth, do you think he was guessing or do you think he knew? He already knew. Right? Now, where did the movement of say it and claim it and grab it and nab it, right? Where did that whole thing go wrong? That people started speaking to believe. They didn't believe and then speak. They started speaking and confessing in order to believe, but that's out of order, right? That's out of order. You don't speak what you don't know. That's called foolishness, right? What you do is first you believe and then you speak, right? And that's what happened here, right? Elijah, when he spoke, when Elijah spoke, it was done. Right? He knew that it would happen. He didn't see it happen. And he, his servant came back 6 times. He came back. And Elijah, he kept sending them. He said, is it raining yet? Do you see a cloud? No, no, master, nothing. Nothing. 6 times. How many of us, maybe after the first or the second or third time, well, I guess it didn't work. But you know why we say it didn't work? Because we didn't believe it first. If you believed first already, your faith was in Jesus and you knew that he would be the one to bear the fruit, right? And that's a certainty. That's not a guess. That's a certainty. When you have faith in him, you see, God is faithful, right? God is faithful. What he's done and what he has spoken, he will complete and he will do it, right? So when you have faith in God, you're saying, Lord, you will do it. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind you're going to do it. I'll see it. You've already given it to me. It will be manifest outwardly. I believe that I will see it, right? So he says, believe that those things that he says shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Look at verse number 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them. And that word receive them there is lambano. Believe that you can take, as you're praying, you are taking from what you have. You're taking from what you have. Believe, he says, believe that you receive it and you shall have them. But that have them is manifest them. You'll have them out here, right? Because isn't that what we want, right? We want it out here. But you have to know you have it already here. Let it go from here to here. How? In the knowledge of Jesus Christ. See, the glory of God is entirely important, right? The riches. Can we do that right there? That's a good place to go, right? The riches of the glory. The riches of the glory. Did I miss that when we're reading it out of 2 Corinthians? Let's see. No, you know what that is? Let's go there. Let's go there. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse, very, very close. Those two verses, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and Ephesians chapter 3 are very, very close. Ephesians chapter 3, watch how great this verse is. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 16. And let's go to 14, sorry. 3:14. 3:14, look at what he says. You know, riches, right? You know, what was real cool about Friday's service was that the Lord was speaking just very specifically about poverty. Very specifically about poverty. And you know, the cool thing about poverty is that, not the cool thing about poverty, but what the Lord has done, is that he, in Revelation chapter 2, he speaks to the church, and I think it was the church in Smyrna, if I'm not mistaken, but he speaks to the church, and he said, I am the first and the last, I am the beginning and the end. He says, I see your works, and I see what you're doing, and I see your poverty, but you are rich. But you are rich. Now, why is that important for them to know that they are rich? Because if they think, watch, if they think they're poor, they won't receive anything from anywhere. Because they have nothing. Poverty means you have nothing. You lack everything. You don't have nothing. You have nothing. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have a treasure in earthen vessels. But when we say we're poor, what we're confessing and believing in our heart is we have nothing. So how can a man who is poor receive anything from God? How can a man who thinks in his mind he is poor, wanting of everything? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down and rest in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Right? He He's renewing this thing so it can know what this is. But the Lord is already my shepherd. He shepherds my soul so my soul can understand what I have. I shall not want. But if I believe I am poor, I will not receive. The Lord has given me a talent and I shall not use it. Right? I'll dig it and bury it. I'll suppress the truth in my life. I won't believe the truth. Alright? But what does he want us to do? He wants us to believe what we receive, right? What we have, so we can, because he said, I've made you, I've qualified you. He said, Lord, but I have to wait until that day. Lord, I can't take it right now. I have to wait until that day. When we get resurrection life, I have to wait until resurrection life comes. And when resurrection life comes, I can have resurrection life. And Jesus stands on the inside of you, and he says, I am the resurrection. Right? Isn't that what he told Mary? I am the... What are you saying? Listen, they were in such unbelief, he wept. And you know what people think? That he was crying over Lazarus. Why would he cry over Lazarus? In 2 minutes he's going to raise him up. There's nothing sad about that. That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous to say that. That he wept. Twice he wept. And both times he wept because of their stark unbelief in the one. Could you imagine? I am the resurrection and the life. And no one believes it. But you know what they believed? They believed, Mary believed that if he was there, he would have healed her. But she didn't believe, listen, she didn't believe that if he died, he could raise her. What was the misunderstanding? What was the disconnect? She thinks that it's one kind of life that heals and another kind of life that raises. But it's the same resurrection life that's standing in front of her that would heal her and raise him, right? That's why when someone dies, the Bible says they sleep. You know why? Because they will be woken, right? They sleep because he will wake them up, right? He said those that are dead in Christ, which is really correctly spoken, is those that sleep in Christ will be risen. They will be woken, right? Right? And those that are alive and remain then shall be caught up with them, because they're not going to get ahead of you and get first dibs, right? We come together. So isn't it awesome? Listen, what, you are rich. My God, you're rich. Right? How important it is for us to understand. Let me show you how important it is. In Ephesians chapter 3 verse 14, he says, for this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Where's his glory? In you, according to the riches of his glory. That's why he calls it a treasure, right? According to the riches of his glory, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Now listen, because you already know this stuff, right? When the Lord says that he would grant you, right there in your brain, say, it ain't from heaven that it's coming, right? Something that he's granting, and I don't even have to read it to know that it's knowledge he's talking about, right? Because he's already given everything else, so he's not going to say, and I can't even remember what's coming next right now, but I know that it ain't going to be that he's going to say that he's going to give me something from heaven, right? He's going to, it's guaranteed it's going to be our knowledge, and it better be, right? So here's what he says. He says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, watch, yep, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the what? In the inner man. That you would be strengthened with might. How are you strengthened on the inside? Right? By growing the knowledge of who he is, you grow strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Right? Not in the power of his might. Right? Like God is in heaven fighting for you. Right? But the power of his might on the inside of you. So he says, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. My God, are you rich or poor? But listen, if you are rich, but you think like a poor man, right? You will receive and live as a poor man, even though you are owner of everything, right? He says, if a child, even though he is owner of everything, he thinks as a child, then he cannot use anything that he's been given, right? I heard somebody give an example a long time ago, but it's a good one, right? That you could own an entire estate, right? And it all be yours, but you're not over 18. So even though you have a Lamborghini parked in your front door, you can't drive it, right? You may have access to it, but you're not old enough, right? Because you're not old enough, you cannot use anything you have. You're not making any calls, you can't do anything, but it's an amazing thing regardless of age. Because listen, don't limit your children that all that they can have is dependent on what you can teach them, right? Because the Spirit of God in them can teach them more than you can teach them, right? Right? There was a king who started to reign at the age of 8 years old in Israel. And he was a godly king. And he was a godly king at the age of 8 years old, and the kingdom prospered under him. Yet we would take our 8 years old and figure that they're just impotent little children that don't know any better for nothing anyway. So we don't want to overwhelm their mind with the knowledge of Christ, because they can't learn that much anyway. Because since we're adults and we don't know that much either, they can't surely learn more than us, right? Don't limit your children based on what you think you know, right? Let the Spirit of God teach them. He can teach them. At 12 years old, Jesus was doing what? In the temple, about his Father's business already. He didn't start at 12. At 8 years old, I think it was Uzziah, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, but that's not important right now. But he reigned at 8 years old, and the kingdom prospered under him. Right? Why? Because it was he did right in the sight of the Lord. Where was the faith of that king? In God. An 8 year old with faith in Christ can speak, and the Lord will do it. Right? The Lord will do it through him. So he says in Ephesians chapter 3, and he says in verse number 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. What does Philippians 4 say? That how will God meet your needs according to his what? That are where? According to his riches and glory that are where? In Christ. And where is he? Where are your needs being met from? Right? It's not the mailbox, right? It's here. It's not the mailbox. It's here. How does it get from here to here? I mean, you got it here already. It's a treasure. Listen, if you don't know it's a treasure, it's still a treasure. Right? If you're still on the inside, you are still overlaid in gold on the inside, even though you feel like a pauper, right? You're still overlaid in gold. Because why? Because you're looking at the earthen vessel. Isn't that interesting? If the bride sees her earthen vessel, she will not realize how beautiful she is, right? In the Song of Solomon, what was her problem? She almost felt intimidated that you would call me beautiful. She looked at her skin and said, I am already darkened from being outside working. Right? My brothers have made me labor and work, and my skin is already darkened. I'm not beautiful. But he speaks to her and tells her, he describes her in beautiful ways, and she doesn't get it, right? It's not about your outside, right? Man judges on the outside, but God looks upon the heart, right? We're so busy because we got to make this beautiful, right? But what is it that makes a man well? There's people doing all kinds of weird things to their outside, right? They buy things, they do things, they rub things on, they do all kinds of strange things to the outside, right? They want to surround themselves with the right atmosphere, they want to be serene, they want to do this, they want to have the right music. It's all out here. But it's rotting inside. Because they think life comes from out here, right? But life doesn't come like this. Life comes like this, right? It doesn't come like this. Life comes like this. So they can clean that cup all they want, and death is still at work. Sin and death is still profiting on the inside of them. And they can make the outside, and they can work out until their legs fall off, right? And that doesn't mean that they have life. Don't ever mistake health and life. Your blood pressure can be right on. Your body mass can be right on, right? Everything can be just as it needs to be. Death, when death reigns, it reigns, right? And if you don't give it one way, it'll take another way, right? So health does not mean life. The spirit of life on the inside of you, that means life. Is it good to work out? Sure, work out. There's nothing wrong with that, right? The Lord will give you wisdom to take care of what he's given also, right? That's all good, right? But don't depend on it like that's where life is coming from, right? Life does not come from that. Life comes from him. He is life, right? Listen, Lazarus could have died of a heart attack because he was such a poor eater. And the Lord rose him anyway. He could have died because, you know what, he didn't tell him what his mama told him to do. And he went and did the wrong thing and he got sick. He could have died for any number of reasons. Death took him, right? God didn't take him, death took him. Jesus didn't ask, what did he die from? Was it diabetes? Oh no, can't do nothing about that. Right? He called, he said, come forth, that's all. He just called life to come and it brought him out. Right? I wrote on a notepad a while ago, actually maybe it was in my iPad, I just wrote the gravity of things. The gravity of things. We believe that God can heal. Mary believed that he could heal. But maybe if it would have been a limb you would have lost. Oh, no. No, either forget about it. God can't do nothing about that. He can't grow another limb. Or let's start getting all the prayer partners around the world to pray. Listen, if you ever ask someone to pray for you, I hope you're asking a person who is going to believe and then speak. Right? And it's not going to speak what you want to hear, but really doesn't believe because it doesn't do anything, right? It's just faith. It's just one person is good enough that believes, right? You sitting there that believe, you can receive, even though it's a missing limb. Okay, so look at what he says, so we can wrap up here. So, and he says that you would be strengthened with might. Might, that's power, right? That you would be strengthened with power in the inner man, by the Spirit, right? In the inner man. How are you strengthened with power on the inside by the inner man? Because he's the one that has shed abroad the light of the gospel in your heart. He does that, right? He goes, whew, there you go. Right? And you receive the knowledge. He's the one that opens. He's the one that enlightens. You can't receive light apart from the Spirit of God. Only He can enlighten. Man cannot enlighten. You can sit in services forever, right? You can sit in services until you burn a hole through the chair. And if the Spirit of God is not teaching you, it was just a waste of time, right? But if you let Him teach you, and you say, Lord, I can't learn, and I can't surely lean on my own understanding because I'm not that bright. So since I'm not that bright and I can't lean on to my own understanding, so in all of my ways, I just acknowledge that You're in me and You're the teacher, and then I can know. And He'll teach you, right? He'll make those things that are crooked and confusing, you know how He makes them? Straight. Clear, right? Obvious. He'll make him straight, right? Confusion is not from the Lord. So let's end in here. So it says in verse number 17 that Christ, look at what he says, that Christ may dwell in your what? Can you do that with me? That Christ may dwell in your hearts. But then isn't he already here? Is it that he's not dwelling? But no, he's there. That Christ who dwells here may dwell in your heart, right? That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. If you doubt, He dwells, but not in your heart. Because faith is in Jesus, right? Faith is not that it's going to happen. Faith is in Jesus that He will bring it to pass, right? The husband is the one that brings it to pass, right? He's the one that plants the seed. And the woman doesn't know how, she doesn't know how growth occurs. She's not making it happen. We were talking about, right, that the way it comes out, and I'm going to mess it all up, right? But it comes out, attaches itself down there, starts growing, has a whole bunch of things, and then he's in there, and he's floating around, and he's growing in there. You don't know how, but he's growing, right? And what happens after 9 months? He is born. Are you certain that he will be born? Of course you are, because he's growing. Go ahead and grow in the knowledge of Christ and see if you won't know that it will be born. Grow in the knowledge of Christ and see. You don't know how, but it's not, the kingdom of God is as a man that would plant a seed and would sleep and rise up, right? And sees it growing and doesn't know how, right? His word is the seed. My heart is good soil. I will hear it, accept it. And when you hear and accept it, it produces a what? You're fruitful. You don't got to make it come out, right? You have to squeeze the fruit out. You will produce a harvest. That's a certainty. That's done. That's Mark chapter 4, right? It'll be done. It'll happen, right? It'll happen. It'll happen. So it says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you may be rooted and grounded in what? In the love of God. That's not a different concept outside of faith in Jesus Christ. It's the same one. The love of God is manifest in the face of Jesus Christ, right? The love of God is seen in Christ. Christ who is the love of God, right? So it says, look, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you may be rooted and grounded in love, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints, what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. That's why you don't lean on your own understanding. Because if you lean on your own understanding, you limit what you can know. Right? Don't lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge that you cannot learn and that you cannot know, but that the Spirit of God can show you by the mind of Christ. Right? You renew your mind, let Him do it. He'll show you. You don't have to. I have a bad memory. Because people say that, I just have such a bad memory. I can't ever remember verses. I don't have to worry about remember a verse, right? Right? He brings it right up. I concern myself with putting it in, and I concern myself with Christ. I'm not concerning myself about learning of verses and trying to learn strategies of memorization. And if you put it on a flashcard and you look at it 3 times a day, then you'll be able to learn it. It's not about memorization. It's about you put it in, and He will bring it up, right? He's the one that, if He's not bringing it up, you ought not to be thinking about it. Right? So he says that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye may be filled with all of the fullness of God. That's a lot, right? Right? That's a lot. That you may be filled, the will of God for you, filled with all the fullness of God. Right? That doesn't sound very sick to me. Doesn't sound very poor. Doesn't sound very confused. Filled with all the fullness of God. How are you? I'm great. I'm filled with the fullness of God. Right? Not many people can say that, but that's the will of God for us. To be filled with all the fullness of God. To be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works from heaven and is sent down to you in the earth. No, right? According to the power that works in us. Can we read that together? Where is that? Look at verse number 20. Now unto him who is able, not unto him, unto him, right? Unto him, inside of you, right? Unto him that is able, he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, because it surpasses understanding, right? Above what you can think. Above what you can think. Ask or think. Can I tell you this? You don't just have everything that you have in Christ. You don't have it just because you asked for it. You were given the fullness even though you didn't ask for it all, right? It was given to you. You can receive, right? You can receive from that fullness. He gave it to you. It says, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So that, you know why? So that the excellency of the power can be of God and of us. And that unto him then would be the glory in the church by Jesus Christ through all the ages, world without end. Amen. Right? So that the glory can be his. That's what he wants to do, right? He's there. He wants to get it up to your heart. Right? And he shed, the Spirit of God sheds light upon your heart so it can be renewed, so that he can be seen, and so him, his can be the glory. So the excellency of the power can be of God and not of us. Thank you, Lord. You know what? If you all could stand up, we want to close this service praying right over you, over your life and over your families and over all that is yours, over this church, over the Word of God that's here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, my Lord. Hallelujah. Father, I just thank you. I thank you, my Lord, for your people, Lord, that are here. I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that they hear. And it just clicks in them, Lord, because they're hearing your Spirit on the inside of them. And they hear your Spirit on the inside of them say, that's the way. That's the way right there. Walk in it. Walk in it. Think in it. Lead. Go ahead, follow me right in that way. That's the way right there. That's the way right there. You've been praying and it hasn't been working, right? That's the way right there, right there. That's the way. You hear a voice on the inside of you saying, this is the way. That's it right there. And this is the way because I am the way. This is the way because I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life that rose up Lazarus. I am the life that is in you, and that is the life that will raise up your mortal body, and that is the life that gives life to your mortal body here on this earth right now. Healing, prosperity, all of the things, all of the fruits of your Spirit, love, Lord Jesus, love and joy, all of the things that are needful in our lives, joy, joy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, thank you, Lord. I pray, my God, that over this weekend, that your revelation, Father, by your Spirit on the inside of them, Lord, let that be the fireworks, my God, on the inside of them. Going, Lord, bursting and exploding past their understanding, past the limitation of their human mind, Lord, to show them bigger things, things that they would not even think of, things that they have not even asked for or thought of, that you would teach them those things beyond what they ask, beyond what they think, beyond what they ask, Father, that they would ask you, Lord, for an orange and you give them, Lord, an orange tree. That they would ask you, Father, for some fruit and you would give them, Lord, a harvest, my God, from the inside of them. Father, we don't limit you. We don't limit you in our lives to the one thing. Sometimes we just ask, Lord, for the thing that's steadily and loudest crying out in our bodies or in our minds. Father, I pray, Lord, that they would receive as you teach them far beyond what they can ask or think. Far beyond. That their minds, Father, would be ready and their hearts, Lord, ready to hear things, Lord. Things that even, Lord, of their future, things that have not happened. Lord, on the inside of them, You speaking, Lord. Let them always know that that's where You speak. Let them always know, Lord, You don't speak from the outside in. You speak always from inside of them up unto their heart. Revelation, Father, anything that is done. Lord, prophecy itself, Lord, that is given is meant to build them up on the inside. They hear from the inside. If we hear someone speak, Lord, and we're not hearing anything on the inside, then, Father, either we're hearing wrong or it's not even from God anyway. Thank You, Lord, that we hear on the inside. That we hear on the inside. And we hear a voice, Lord, on the inside of them saying, I am the way. Walk in Me. Put on Christ. Put on Christ. Put Me upon your heart. Put Me upon your heart. Put Me there. Put Me there. Hallelujah. And I will lift You up. And I will exalt You. I will lift You up and I will exalt You. Father, we just thank You and praise You. Thank You, Lord, for what You have given this morning, Lord. We have been able, Lord, to receive. And we have not heard things, Lord, that we're not able to bear right now. But the things that You have spoken, Lord, we are able to hear. Because we have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. And we thank You and we praise You, Lord. Thank You for this place and for this church. And thank You, Lord, that You're the one that keeps it. In Jesus' name, amen.
And that concludes our segment for today. This message was recorded at Harvest Family Church, located at 2631 Route 52, Liberty, New York. Harvest Family Church meets at 10:30 a.m. on Sundays, 7 p.m. on Wednesdays, and 7 p.m. on Fridays. You can get more information about HFC online at bringinginTheHarvest.org, or you can call us at 845-295-4560. Thank you for listening.